94.3 WYBC, the rhythm of the city. I'm Juan Castillo, and this is the Electric Drum. Now, this morning, I've got a great story. You know, WYBC is about good news. So this is a good news report, good news story. I've got Jacquees McRae here. I got Denisha Coles here. I have Deborah McRae here. Now, Deborah McRae is one of my Facebook friends, and, you know, I watched her tell a story, you know, on Facebook. And, you know, every once in a while, you know, it gets kind of ratchet on Facebook, but every once in a while, you see a real good story, and you got to share with the community, and that's what I'm about. So, Deborah, how you doing today?
I'm doing good, Juan. What about yourself?
I'm doing very, very well. Now, you from New Haven?
I'm originally from Hemingway, South Carolina, but wow. I've been up here since the age of maybe 3 or 4.
Okay.
So really, you know, I'm born in South Carolina, but I was raised here.
Right
from Ashman Street.
Okay, you grew up in Ashman Street? Okay.
Grew up in Ashman Street, went from Ashman Street.
We have another reunion this year?
We're going to
have
a
reunion?
We do.
Okay, that's good. Yeah, I'm ready. I love that one.
Yes, the reunion.
That's one of the best.
Yes.
So tell me about your life. So you came here, and tell me how, you know, you came here. How old were you when you came here?
I want to say about maybe, I don't know, a baby, maybe three years old.
Oh, okay, so you basically grew up here.
Yeah, basically grew up here, yes.
Right.
Tell me about. But I was born in Hemingway, South Carolina.
So tell me about growing up in New Haven.
Well, growing up in New Haven, we came out of Ashman Street, went from Ashman Street to Northeast Drive. Mom and Dad worked, you know. We didn't have a whole lot. Mom would always, you know, put herself to the side just so we could have, you know. We've shared bedrooms. I got three other sisters and two other brothers, you know, with my mother and father. My dad has two other children after Mom died.
But, yes.
You know, it wasn't easy, you know, but we always had to go to church. We were brought up in the church.
What church?
St. James.
All right.
Bishop Coward Church. Went from Newhall Street to Lawrence Street. God bless his soul. He went on to be with the Lord.
But yes.
That's where we were at. Always church people.
Right. So what school, what high school did you go to?
I went to Wilbur Cross.
Okay.
Went to Wilbur
Cross. So you're a governor?
Yes, I'm a governor. That's right. Little girl, we played Hill House.
I know. I hear you.
Even Lehigh.
I hear you. So what do you do for a living?
I work at Yale New Haven Hospital.
Okay.
As of this August, I'll be there 40 years. I work in the food service department.
Congratulations.
Yes.
40 years?
40 years in August.
When are you retiring?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Well, you know, you look young, so ain't no retiring. Ain't no retiring.
I'm still young now.
Keep making that money, girl.
I'm making a little bit. It's not a whole lot,
yeah,
but
that's wonderful.
It's a job.
That's wonderful. Good for you. So, tell them about the story.
Well, let's go back a little bit, if you don't mind.
Absolutely.
Back here in 2007, my son had his first transplant. He was about 14 years old, but we found out prior to that transplant that he had excessive protein in his urine. So they called this FSGS. It's a long word, focal something, but it deals with the kidneys, attacks the kidney and everything. So he'd been on medication for that, and then everything was getting worse. So as time progressed, they said that he needed a transplant. So what we did at the time, I didn't want my daughter to give a kidney because I couldn't stand the thought of both of my children being in the hospital at the same time.
And she wanted to do it, but
I said, no. I don't know. For some reason, I just wouldn't let her do it.
Yes.
So he didn't have to go on dialysis, but as time went on, we did get a call to come to the hospital. They had a kidney. Well, the first time they called, I was at work. They talked to him, my son. And he told him he didn't understand it. So he told him he must have been like 14 or something like that. He told him, well, I can't come now because I'm eating. So he was eating. So that kidney passed us up when he called him. I'm like,
okay.
Why didn't they call me? They were supposed to call me.
Right.
Then
what was you eating, man?
I don't think it was like chicken tenders.
Some chicken tenders. He gave up the kidney for some chicken tenders. Was they good?
Yeah, it was real good.
All right, go ahead.
So, Juan, getting back to that, 2 weeks later, I'm getting in from New York from a concert. We got another call to get to the hospital because they had another kidney for him.
Yeah.
So we were ready to roll. Everything was packed up. We went to the hospital. My church family, everybody was there. We went there, and he got the kidney. It was from a deceased donor. All I know that it came out of somewhere from Maine.
Right.
And he had that kidney transplant. Everything went well. The doctor did let us know that this kidney would last him at least through high school or maybe college, but he would have to have another transplant.
Right.
So now I go back. I said, now I know why it wasn't for me to allow my daughter to give him a kidney, because he was going to need another one.
Yeah.
And so when that one failed, you know, and my son, we almost lost him, you know.
Yes.
Yeah, we almost lost him. The past year, he's been in the hospital like 9 times.
Right, waiting.
Not just being sick.
Or just being everything. Sick.
Being
okay,
sick,
all right.
On dialysis and everything. Was doing dialysis 3 times a week and everything.
Right.
So then he had a seizure right in front of me, you know. I mean, everything. He wound up in ICU. Everything was just happening. Everything at one time.
Right.
You know, so this time, my daughter was a match. She did it on her own. But she can tell you all about it. But God is good. I must say he's awesome.
Yeah,
he's
we're going to talk to her in a second.
He's awesome.
So, Jacquees, let me put you on the mic now. So tell me, I mean, you know, pretty tough thing for a kid to know that you're dealing with something like this, huh?
Yeah, it was real tough. Very tough, mentally and physically, like, you know.
Right. So did you, I mean, how did you handle it? I mean, in terms of going to school and all that. Talk about that a little bit.
Honestly, being in high school, that was tough because it happened around the time I was, like, in 7th grade. And they had put me on one of these medications called prednisone.
Okay.
And it caused to blow your face up. But at the end of the day, it kind of prevent, you know, the kidney from, like, getting worse. So it keeps you, you know, energized and stuff like that. But it would blow up my face. So going to school, you know, certain ones will laugh at you. But I didn't let it affect me because I understood it was bigger than what, you know, the kids was thinking about.
Right.
So it was tough, you know, coming home from school, going straight to sleep, then trying to keep up with homework, maintaining, and then even getting up in the morning, falling asleep in class. You know, it was just hard, like a hard thing to deal with.
Right. And you couldn't get involved with sports or anything?
No, not at all.
Right. And you got a Brooklyn Nets hat on.
Yeah, but I'm a Cleveland Cavaliers fan.
But you got a Brooklyn Nets hat.
Yeah, I got a Brooklyn Nets on, yeah.
Why? Because it matches the clothes.
It matches the shirt. Yeah.
Well, first of all, I'm from Brooklyn, so that's all right with me.
All right.
But I'm a Knicks fan, though.
Okay.
So now we, you know, but when the Nets are playing the Knicks, of course I'm going with the Knicks, right? But if they're playing somebody else, I'm good. The bad thing about it is that we both of our teams ain't no good right about now. You know. So the first one, right?
Right.
You know, tell me about the surgery. I mean, you know, were you afraid? You know, what was on your mind when you were first going in there for that first? That was the first one. I mean, you know, right?
Yeah, 2007 April 22nd.
Right.
Going into the process of the surgery, of course, you was a little nervous. That was like my first major surgery, so
yes.
Anything I was thinking about could possibly happen.
Right.
You know, with you know, putting you under the table, knowing you got to go underneath the knife and stuff, and the morphine. You know.
Yeah.
But I knew I was ready. At that young age, it's like it's crazy because I actually felt better once I got in the room. For some reason, I thought I would be, you know, freaking out, but I was pretty confident that I would come out stronger than ever.
And you had your church family, you had the Lord up in there,
so
you
were straight, right? My family, yep, I was straight.
There you go. So you come out of that,
yes.
Right? You know, and it starts work, and it works, right?
Right away.
So tell me about those changes. And
After you know I recovered, I was feeling more energized. I was less tired. I went back, you know, you could go back to your normal diet, but, you know, they were still saying watch out for certain things because a lot of stuff you just can't eat due to the kidneys, like avoiding buffet food and stuff because you're not going to know how long the food sits out. So I had to still, you know, maintain a diet, but at the same time, I was still back to where I could be a little bit normal.
Right.
And I could play sports. I just couldn't play football because the kidney I had sits up in the front.
Okay.
So they just told me because it can get hit.
Somebody hit.
Yeah.
Right.
So they told me basketball was okay. Also, I play drums.
Good.
Yeah, I play for this gospel group and quartet of New Haven called the Golden Stars.
Oh, the Golden? What?
Yeah,
you from Golden Stars?
Yeah, I'm the drummer for them.
Oh, that's fantastic, brother. Yeah, yeah, I mean, you all be having them anniversaries every year.
Yeah.
Oh,
yeah,
I'm up on it now.
All right. Yeah, so that's my main love out of any activities.
Oh, good for you, brother. Yeah. That's wonderful. So we're gonna hand it over to your sister now, Denisha.
Okay.
Hi, how you doing?
I'm good, and you?
All right. So tell me about your experience, you know, right from the beginning, right? You know, when you wanted to give up your kidney, right? And then your mom said no. Let's start there.
Well, growing up in watching him grow, I was always his protector, knowing what he was going through. Anybody picked with him, I had to go beat him up. Like, that's basically what it was.
Right.
So it was tough. I couldn't really do a lot with him, watching him go through a lot of things and certain machines he had in the house. We had to, like, you know, wear the mask and gloves and stuff. So I wasn't able to go into his room as much and spend, you know, too much time with him because of the process he was going through.
Right.
But watching him grow and how strong he was, it was like a lot of things that us as human beings can't complain about, watching your brother go through so much stuff.
Right.
And he never complained. Never. The whole entire time at the hospital, if he was in pain, you'd never know, because he never ever said he was in pain. He never ever said anything hurt him. He was just a strong person. Like,
champion.
He was a champ.
There you go.
Then the second...
Even though his team lost this year.
Well, I'm a Spurs fan.
Oh, so
you
in trouble too. Go ahead.
So with this call I got from my mother around Thanksgiving time, she was basically telling me that he needed a kidney, and I just said, well, you know what that means. And she said, no, I don't. I said, well, I'm going to do it. So I don't think she believed me at that moment. So I kind of like went behind her back. I called the 1-800 number, and I just started going through the process.
So you call 1-800 number when you want to donate a kidney?
Yes.
To anyone?
To anyone.
And what happens? Talk about that.
They tell you to come. They ask you if you know who you want to donate it to. And I told him I wanted to donate it to my brother.
Right.
He was, a lot of the coordinators and stuff like that already knew who he was from prior.
Okay.
So I told him I wanted to donate to him. They have me, they take down my information, have somebody else contact me. And during that time, it's like a quick phone interview.
Mm-hmm.
And then they have you come in. You do your blood work to see if, what your blood type is, which I already knew mine was O positive.
Okay.
So O positive is able to donate blood to anybody.
Okay.
It's hard for us to receive blood, though. So I knew once me being O positive, I knew I was going to be a match for his blood type.
So you got to have the same blood type in order to be able to donate a kidney regardless, right?
Well, O positive is able to donate to anybody.
To anybody. So any of your organs can be donated to anybody.
Blood type wise.
Blood type wise.
Yes.
Okay. What about the kidney itself?
There was a lot of stuff that had to go through that process with the kidney, because their main thing is focused on the living donor. They want to make sure that I'm able to live with one kidney. My kidney is strong enough to function. So that's their main problem. If your kidney not strong enough to function, just if your body's not strong enough just to have one kidney function, they're not going to do the procedure at all.
I see.
So that was the main thing. Once I found out my blood type matched with his blood type, he started getting sick again and having seizures. He needed a blood transfusion, which I had to get my blood type matched against that blood. So it was like the fact that I had to keep going to do the same work every time he got sick, because they would put blood inside of him or just make sure the process, you know, was going to continue, because of any time that he gets sick, it kind of like a hold off.
Right.
So he was going through a lot when he was in the ICU unit and everything like that. Then on Valentine's Day, I was in a store and my coordinator called me. My coordinator, Joyce Albert, she actually was his coordinator during his first transplant.
Okay.
So she was excited to know that I wanted to give it to him, because she actually went to go speak at his school to let the kids know what he was going through.
Right.
So
and education about organ donors and stuff.
Yes.
Yeah, good.
So she got a lot of support with that. So she was so excited about it. So I was in a store Valentine's Day. They told me, she called me and said that she had some great news, and she told me I was a match for him.
Okay.
So I was happy about that. I think that's when my mom started realizing that I was taking this seriously.
Okay.
All right. During the time when she had called me, I actually started dieting. Because I was reading articles and stuff, and you have to have a certain body mass to give somebody a kidney as well.
Okay.
So not that I was ever heavy, but it just made me go harder to know that this is what I wanted to do. So I started going to Planet Fitness, and I'm in the gym, and I started eating healthy.
Man,
big
you was
fish.
Kobe Bryant up in there.
Not Kobe, more like Tim Duncan, more like Tony Parker.
Yeah, okay, all right. All right, well, but you know, I don't know if they were as hard workers, though. But anyway, go ahead. Go ahead.
And then I started eating a lot of baked fish every single day.
Okay.
I don't know what it was, but I just went to baked fish, breakfast, lunch, and dinner was just baked fish. I was eating more of steamed vegetables, and I was just, you know, proportioning my food, everything. I just made sure everything was good.
Nice.
Then after that, I kept going there. I had to keep going to Yale to get blood work done. I went for CAT scan. I went for MRI. I had to do the 24-hour urine. I had to just do everything just to make sure everything was cleared. They found 2 lesions inside my liver. So they wanted me to get that checked, but which is common for females to have.
Okay.
So that was like a bump in the road, but once they did everything they had to do, they seen everything was smooth sailing.
Right.
And I was able to go for it.
Right. That's fantastic. Juan Castillo, I'm here with Jaquez McCray, Deborah McCray, and Denisha Coles. And we're talking about, you know, organ donations, but specifically we're talking about how Denisha actually, you know, donated, you know, her kidney to her brother Jaquez, and they went through it, and they're looking great here, you know, with all the prayers of the community and everybody else, because moms put it out there, man. You had the whole city praying. That's, you know what right. I mean? And prayer works. I know it does. I know it does. So we're going to put you back on, Deborah. You know, so now, so you find out that, you know, she's going behind your back.
Yes.
You know, but now she start working on all of this. And tell me how you were feeling during that period of time, right?
I actually started crying.
Of course.
They don't know it, but I was crying. I was like, oh my God, my daughter is so special. She wants to do this for her brother.
She's a hero.
Especially, you know, I wouldn't let her do it the first time.
Yeah.
But the second time, I'm like, okay, Lord, because I can't do it, you know, with high blood pressure and stuff like that. I just couldn't do it with health issues that I have going on, you know. And so she was a match and she wanted to do this. I said, you really serious? She said, Ma, I'm serious about this. I really want to do it. I said, okay, you know, and I told him, I said, your sister wants to, I told Jaquez, I said, your sister wants to give you a kidney. He said, for real? She wants to do that? I said, yep. Just like that, she wants to do it because the waiting list is so long now.
It is.
You know, when you're younger, it's easy for you to get a kidney earlier.
Okay.
At an earlier age because you're young. But once you get older, that waiting list is so long. You can wait 7 or 8 years before you get a kidney once you put on the list.
And that list is based on folks, number one, either becoming donors on their own, right? But then it's also the donor on your license. You put down donor or something, isn't it? You want to speak to that, Denisha?
About the list, the people that's on the list, we actually had to go to
the people that need it.
Need it. He had his own meeting to go to, and I had my own meeting to go to.
Right.
So at his meeting, they let you know it's actually based on blood type.
Okay.
Age, because who they feel, you know, needs to be up there. And people that's on dialysis, they still count as being on the list as well. If you're on the list and you're on dialysis, they still put you in at that time that you're on dialysis.
Right.
And one thing people don't know is when you're on dialysis every year, it takes 20% of your life away.
So now most people that get kidneys normally get it because someone's died and they grab the kidney, right?
It depends on the ratio of that. You have people who wants to donate kidneys, and sometimes you're not a match because when we did it, I signed up for a switch program, which is, say, for instance, you had a sibling that needed a kidney. My sibling needed one. I'm compatible with your sibling and you're compatible with mine.
Okay.
So we can actually still do that, and both of them can actually have a kidney.
Right. And this kidney, and it's got nothing to do with race or whatever, right? Kidney's a kidney.
No, it's a kidney, but they go definitely through your blood type.
So I check that out. Throw that one out there.
That's right.
Right? And that's why we're all human beings, need to be treated properly, right?
Amen.
It's a beautiful thing. So, okay, so now this is, you're watching her go through the tests and all of that. Must have been tough.
It was tough. It was really tough. I mean, every day she would call me, Ma, I got to go do this. I got to go do that. So I'll be praying, you know. I said, keep me posted. Let me know what's going on. You know, she was doing her part. Now I told Jaquez, you got to do yours too now.
Yes.
You know, but she was doing her part. I mean, she was so serious. She was giving me information. I'm like, what?
Right.
I'm like, unbelievable. I said, okay, well, I got to make sure he knows this and he got to do this. You know, he has to do that. You know, appointments and everything. I cannot believe that it's so much you have to do in giving an organ.
Yeah.
I mean, it's so much. And they're serious about it. If you're not serious about it, they're not going to do it.
If
you're on dialysis and you're not going to dialysis like you're supposed to, and you're eating all kind of stuff that you shouldn't be eating, and you're just going downhill, they're not going to give you a kidney
either. They're not going to waste the kidney.
They're not going to waste the kidney. They're not going
to
do it.
That's good to know for folks to know out there.
Yes.
Yeah, yeah. So, Jaquez, let's put you on the mic again. So your sister, pal, doing all this work. So she's motivating you now, so you had to take your business. Of course. what did you have to be doing in order to prepare for it?
Well, with me, I had to, like she uttered, I had to make sure I was continuing to go to dialysis treatments.
Yes.
I had to watch foods.
Okay.
Definitely keep up with all my medications still, whatever they put me on or took me off. I had to definitely be faithful to anything like that required of that.
Right.
I had to go to appointments, things like that. Far as like getting blood work because of my transfusions, I have to do that right away to make sure it still was able for her to, you know, to keep the same match blood type.
Yes.
Yeah. So pretty much the same thing, you know, but probably a little bit less than what she had to do.
Right.
So yeah.
So talk about the day that you guys had to go and do this. Right. First, I'm gonna let you deal. I'm gonna put you on the mic. Then I'm gonna have, you know, Denisha give her part, and then I'm gonna go back to your mom.
Well, the day of it, which was on the 23rd of May.
Yes.
I walked in.
Yep.
First thing I did, I looked at her and started smiling because she just looked a little bit nervous. That was her first major surgery.
Yeah, okay.
So it was more understandable. But I was just trying to, like, cheer her up, you know, get her loose, so comfortable.
Wait when they give you that shot. You're going to be feeling nice.
Yep.
So, go ahead.
Yeah, so after they both took us upstairs, we had to register our names and stuff like that. So
right.
They had to prepare her first because she had to go into the table before me.
Okay.
So they was asking her different questions. I had stepped out the room. But I guess when I came back in, she started feeling a little bit more, you know, comfortable. But you could still tell she was still nervous.
Right.
So I was just trying to do everything in my power just to keep her calm. Like, look, we're going to be fine. There's going to be nothing. God got us. You know, things like that.
Right. That's great. So, Denisha, from your perspective, what happened?
I was scared.
Yeah, you keep it real. You go keep it real, right?
I was scared.
There you go.
Prior to actually going in for the surgery, I got sick. So
really?
I was a little depressed. I got really, really bad sinuses. And I had a bad sinus infection. I had an ear infection. And I refused to go to the doctor to get my ear infection checked out because I thought it was going to stop everything.
Oh, I see.
So I was like, well, when I go to the hospital, then I'll get everything checked out. I wasn't doing anything to stop this process. So when we got there, now my mother, she wants to be on time for everything. You cannot be late. I beat her there.
Right.
So when they walked in, they was happy to see me, and I'm laughing and stuff.
Right.
And I'm on Snapchat and, you know, having a ball and stuff. I was nervous, but I didn't show it.
Yeah.
We had to go upstairs to the third floor, and they wound up letting us do everything together, which was a plus.
Okay.
So we go inside the room. They prepped me first and everything like that. And my mother was there the whole entire time with me, and they asked me all the questions. They put the IV in my hand, and I was nervous. So what they call it is like a cocktail that they give you to calm your nerves down. So they gave me mine and an IV. They let him drink his. That was his first drink. So during that process, and, you know, I gave everybody hugs and stuff like that. And they walk you down the hallway. And that hallway seems like it's like the Green Mile. It's like, but we just got there so quick.
Right.
So the last hug I gave was to my mother, and I was nervous. And then I turned back around and I looked at her, and she lipped the words that God got you to me. And I felt like everything, all my fears, everything just went away. And I just went walking down there, and I got on the table, and that was it.
Mom, let's get you on the mic. Okay, so they don't even know how you was feeling. They was too much into the process,
they
right?
They don't know how I was feeling, but
so,
I had to be strong for them, too.
There you go.
I'm
so
like, I'm encouraging them. And I said, Lord, I know you got me, you know.
Right, right.
So a little tears came down, but
of course,
was tears of joy.
Yes.
You know, I'm happy that my son is going to have his life back. My daughter's healthy enough to give him a kidney, and she can still be healthy at the same time.
Yes.
So that was a blessing for me right there. I tell you, God is just good.
Right.
But just there waiting all them hours, it seemed like it was just taking so long, though, you know.
Right.
So
once they went in, right, how many hours did it take?
For Nisha, I want to say it was like two and a half hours, I believe. And for Jockeys, I think about 3.5 to 4 hours.
So you went first.
No. She went first.
I went first.
And then they got the kidney, and then they got you in.
Right.
And then you're recovering now, right, while they're putting it in for him, right? Or that was
they took her kidney out.
Right.
While they took her kidney out, they had him in the room. She went a half an hour early to get things started.
Yes.
So by the time they take out, he'll be open where they can put her kidney into him.
Okay.
You know, like
right,
that.
Right.
She went first, yeah. And in the recovery room and everything. But you know the thing about it, when they took the kidney out, the doctor brought a picture of He said, I had to take a picture of this. He said, I want you to see this on his phone. When he took the kidney.
Wow. Okay.
Matter of fact, we might have it in the phone. Yeah. He took a picture. He wanted to see why it was so special, because the kidney that they took out of her to put in him, it was in the form of a heart.
Wow.
Yes. I'm like, oh my God. It was in the form of a heart.
And it was in good shape, too, because you were taking care of herself.
Yeah, that's right.
That's wonderful.
But it may be like 3 to 4 hours. About 4 hours for him.
4 hours.
Yeah.
Man.
About 4 hours. That's just the surgery now. That's not the
recovery
and nothing.
Right. Yeah. Okay. So the surgery, man, that's a long time.
We were there from 6 that morning, and everybody was in. I think you went up.
I got upstairs to my room about noon.
About noon, and you were like 3:30 or something like that.
So, Denisha, you opened up your eyes, and what?
I wanted my mother. I went straight into baby mode. Where is my mother? Can you please get my mother? They like, we're going to give you this. We're going to give you that. All right. Did y'all forget to get my mother? Yeah, somebody go get my mother.
Right.
When she came in the recovery room, I started crying.
Right.
I remember crying, and I just basically said, Mom, I did it. It was my first surgery ever.
Right.
My first time in the hospital, being admitted, everything. And I just cried, and she... you know, rubbed my head, kept kissing me on my forehead, telling me, you know, I did it. And I don't know. They said I had a moment. I have no clue. Like, when you underneath that anesthesia, you really don't know what you're saying.
I've experienced it. So, but you still didn't know what was going on with him.
I wanted my brother, too, as well. I was like, where's my brother at? They told me he was good. When they took me out of recovery room, he wound up getting my recovery room.
Okay.
So I thought I was going to see him in passing, but they kind of like took me through like the back way.
Okay.
So I didn't see him.
Right.
So when I got upstairs to my room, I was just waiting on him.
Right.
And he didn't come up for like another 2 hours.
Now, they had that, the room, the recovery room was, y'all both was in there.
Not at the same time.
Not at the same
Once
time.
They took me out, they brought him in.
Okay.
So all everything was like, but we had the same room for everything.
I see. Okay. Jacquees, you wake up.
Yes, sir.
That's the first thing you said, man. What was
the
happening?
First thing I ain't saying, the first thing I did, well, I was peeing like crazy. So I ain't peeing in about a year, so I was just blessed to even be doing that. So I knew I definitely had my life back then.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah.
But because that's an issue when you have a kidney problem.
Yep.
Okay, that's good. Educating the public, absolutely, on this. Yeah, and so did you ask, like, you know, how did it go?
Yeah,
how
I was asking how it went. First thing I asked was said, how did my sister, how was her recovery? They told me she's doing fine, stuff like that. Then the little tears came out my eye, too, because
of course.
It's been a rough year for me. So
I
was just motivated, was ready to get it done and everything. So
Right. So you guys get through it, and then you stayed in the hospital for how long?
I stayed in for 3 days. She stayed in for 2 days.
Okay, so what's happening during that period of time for you?
Pretty much, I think every 2 hours I was on vitals. Like, they had to keep taking my blood pressure, doing my blood sugar, testing my blood sugar, you know, temperature, everything. They got to keep monitoring you for the first day. And then, like, as time goes on, they usually wake you up in the morning to give, you got to do blood work to see how your levels are doing. So each day, the time I was staying in the hospital kept going lower and lower back to a normal, normal level situation.
Right.
So it was just great.
So, Mom, did you ever leave the hospital?
I went home at night. My husband would be there, too. But it was nice because both of them were on the same floor, but different rooms. So I'm going from one room to the other room.
Right.
One room to the other room.
Right.
The first day, she was in a lot of pain. Mom hurting.
Oh,
I'm hurting.
Okay.
Nisha was definitely in a lot of pain.
Okay.
She was hurting really bad.
Right.
You know, but the next day, Mom, what was so beautiful is that both of them got up to walk.
Yeah.
And I videotaped them walking.
I think that's the one that I saw, right?
So on Facebook, I posted it up there. Yeah, it went viral. God is so good, because I know there's been people out there that's been praying.
Yes.
And I want them to see the effect of it.
That's right.
The prayer. You know what I'm
saying? That's right. Absolutely.
And they were both walking. Although Jacquees was walking a little faster than she was.
Is that right?
People were like, wait for your sister, Jacquees. Walking down the hall. They went around three times, you know? Then we waited till she got to her room. Then I walked Jacquees to his room. It was just beautiful.
No. That's wonderful.
Brother and sister, it was just beautiful.
That's great. So, you know, we'll go to Denisha first. You know, so besides, you know, you giving, right? What does this done for you?
not only did I give my brother a kidney, I saved his life as well.
Right.
And I helped somebody else move into a spot on that list.
Yeah.
So it kind of opened up my eyes to the point where I kind of want to start my own foundation.
Wow. That's great.
And I talked to my mother about it.
Well, you're talking to me now. So yes, you know, I do. I'm ready.
I do, because a lot of people don't realize that it's a lot of work for the living donor. You have to have a reliable job. They want you to have that. You can't just have like any old job, because they want to make sure that you're able to have your job when it's time for you to go back to work.
Right.
There's no foundations to really help living donors. So you get whatever your job is paying for you to have.
I see.
Then on top of that, like, it's a lot of things that people don't realize that you have to do that they don't explain until after or when you go to the seminars.
Right.
Like I was saying before about the body mass and giving the blood and a lot of things that you just don't know. And I would love to share with people about that before it's time for them to go, so they know what they're walking into. Because during the time of the live video, a lot of people reached out in my inbox and they were telling me, you know, I want to give my sibling one, but I'm overweighted. Okay. Or, you know, and I just want to push those people and encourage those people, even if I have to go to the gym with them for them to strive to do it.
That's awesome.
That's what I want to do.
That's great.
I want to do a foundation. I just don't know what part I want to do. I don't know if I want to do the awareness to the whole,
right,
or try to do a foundation where I'm helping living donors actually receive money during their time out.
Okay.
But I know for sure I do want to do a foundation, so I'm putting
you're ready,
it out there.
You know where you can come.
Definitely.
Right? I'll offer my services. So, Jaquise, let's get you on the mic again. So, how you feeling, man?
I'm feeling great.
All right.
Yeah, I'm definitely feeling great. Energized, everything.
Right. So you back to normal? Everything,
yes.
Everything is good?
Yes, it is.
That's great, man. So, what do you have to say to folks that, you know, that have kidneys, right? And also folks that, because, again, I want to talk about that a little bit. It's like, if you could be, the whole license plate thing, right? That's you can request to be a donor. So which means like if you get in a car accident or something and you go out there, they know that, you know, you, and now when you do that, is that specific to certain organs or just any of your organs?
I want to say it's any, but I wasn't a donor. I wasn't on the donor list.
You wasn't on the donor list, right? No. Yeah, you had to put yourself on there. So yeah, talk about that and how important that is, man.
It's very important. Like I said, anybody that's struggling with the situation I went through.
Yeah.
The best thing I can say is pray, read your Bible.
Yeah.
Ask God, you know, to give you a positive signs, different situations. Never let no one get you down.
Right.
Keep watching what you eat. Like, seriously, like, keep watching what you eat. If you can avoid stuff before it get worse, do it.
Right.
Don't wait till you do it and then all of a sudden want to change.
Right. And that's for everybody.
Yeah, that's just for anybody.
Without even having a problem, right?
Right.
I mean, no question. Absolutely. Right. That's great, man. So, you know, I want to thank all y'all for coming. And let's get Deborah back, you know, the mic. How has this changed you?
Well, it's changed me as far as putting my trust in God even the more.
Mm-hmm.
Stay focused, because it's because of God, you know, that
yes.
He allowed this to happen, you know. But what I want to say, that I've been at the hospital for 40 years come August, and you see all type of people come through and different problems that people have. You know, I've seen kids with staples in their head and, you know, bald headed, just, you know, people just coming through wearing masks, you know, just so sick and not knowing what other people go through, you know. But then when it hit me,
yes,
with my family, it's a whole new different outlook. It's a whole new different outlook. You want to be able to help people and give back and do, you know, do what you can do. You know what I'm saying? So what I want to say to the people out there now is that be careful of the salt intake. It's very, very important. So much salt. And always go to the doctor. If they tell you to cut back on the salt, cut back on the salt. My name is Mrs. Dash now.
Okay.
You got to use the Miss Dash seasoning, because it's so, especially the original one. You know, it's not the salt like it is, you know, that the regular salt that we so used to using, you know, and that helps a whole lot. You have to cut back on the salt.
Just one thing right there,
yes,
that could help
read
help
labels,
your life.
Read labels.
Yeah.
All this, you know,
hidden
high
stuff
potassium
in there, right?
Yeah, the stuff that's in there that's not good for you.
Right.
I'm telling you, because like I said, with my son being young, we didn't know that he had excessive protein in his urine, you know, to go through all that. And not only that, I left out too. He even did dialysis. I had to take a leave of absence from work at his age at 14 and do the peritoneal dialysis at home. I had to learn how to order the stuff. The Baxter truck would come, and he would be on the machine 8 hours a day from night until the morning, and still go to school, me still going to work, wearing a mask, cleaning him up, cleaning the stuff out. You know, everything had to be sterilized, you know. And that was for at least 3 months until we got the call for the kidney.
Wow.
That, so I did leave that part out, doing dialysis and going to school. But it is so important. Parents, please. I mean, I know we like Burger King and McDonald's, but if you can cook, cook. Yeah. I mean, and leave a lot of that fast food alone.
Because you're in control.
You're in control.
You're not in control when you eat out.
You're not.
You know?
Because you don't know how long.
And if it stays too good, you know.
Yes.
If it tastes too good.
I'm telling you.
They got a little something in there that ain't no good.
It ain't good.
It ain't supposed to taste that good.
Right. I'm telling you. But this is all seriousness. I'm going to tell you.
Yes, absolutely.
You know what? The kidney is no joke. I'm telling you. You can manage with one, but if you got that one and it ain't no good, you know, and then you can't find nobody to give you one, you know.
Yeah.
I mean, I just pray that you got it right with God.
Yeah, and I have a friend, you know, who, you know, also, this is the second one. You know, and he's doing very well, you know, and so I'm close to this, you know. And so when I saw what you did, I said, you know, I've been meaning to get him on, but, you know, he's been like, you know, I don't know, you know, but I think now he's going to come on, you know, and also add to this story, right? Because we got to keep pushing it, right?
You know,
we just can't let it, you know.
Go off to the side.
Yeah,
everybody
absolutely.
Else is doing everything. We got Walk for Cancer. We got all
that's
this other
right.
stuff. But come
that's
on,
right.
with the kidneys. Come
that's
on.
Right. That's right.
That's important. And
yeah.
So many of us
and it's
around
big.
Here.
And
the
it's
area
big.
Is big time.
Yeah, it's,
yes.
It is big. You know.
Yes.
So yeah, maybe let's get together and do a walk.
Yeah.
You know, how about that?
Let's work together and do a walk.
All right.
Together,
so family out there, you know, I don't want to hear nothing. You're listening on this radio station right now. When we announce we have on our walk, I want everybody in New Haven to come.
That's right.
Y'all better come.
Come. And not only that one, every first Sunday in May, the gospel, the blockbuster gospel that I do is to, after the groups are paid, because we get groups from out of town, like the one we just had, the proceeds going to the Kidney Foundation.
Okay, so now what is this again? Tell me about it.
The blockbuster musical, gospel musical blockbuster.
Okay, where do you do this?
The first Sunday in May at Trinity Temple Church.
Okay.
The first Sunday in May for every year will be for the Kidney Foundation.
That's fantastic. All right, everybody. So I want to thank all of y'all, all three of y'all are heroes. You're my heroes now. You know what I mean? Thank you so much for coming.
Thank you for
having us. And definitely, we're going to work on that walk. And we're gonna work on your foundation, so I'm looking for that.
Thank you.
So I want to thank you all for coming. This is Juan Castillo, this is Electric Drum. I know you've been inspired today. You've also been educated. I have. We will see you next week.